For this morning's devotion, I wanted to look at the author Luke, as he authors the Holy Spirit authors it, but God used Luke to pen the Gospel of Luke. And I wanted to look at the first four verses, because in it he gives a defense of the reliability, that we can trust the Word of God, and specifically his Gospel. And Luke gives a very good defense of this, and as we've read this morning from Luke already, and we'll be reading from Luke, I imagine, quite a bit this month, as we're looking at celebrating Christmas. And I'm sure all of us here, or many, have received a phone call sometime in the past, someone announcing that they had a child, whether it be the parent themselves, the newly made parent, and they would say, we had a baby boy or a baby girl. And if you don't hear directly from them, then you would have heard from someone else. And nowadays, there's so many ways that you can get information from cell phones, from media, all those type of... So you most likely hear from a number of different sources of this great celebration. And yet, they all come together. They all corroborate each other's story. And you may hear from one that, oh, it was a boy or a girl. And from another source, they might tell you the weight and the length of them. Another one might say, oh, they're healthy and doing well, and give you the name of the child. But they all fit together. And that's what God does in his word. Through his Holy Spirit, he speaks his truth to the servants that he called. And that's true of Luke's gospel. In it, we get great detail of a birth that took place over 2,000 years ago, and not just any birth, but a miraculous birth and the most important birth of all time. God himself would enter into this world in bodily form to provide salvation for man. Now, both Matthew and Luke give quite detailed accounts in their Gospels, and it's also mentioned throughout the Bible. Foretold of his birth and then spoken of after throughout. But the greatest details do come from Luke. So who was Luke? Many believe he was a Gentile, because in Paul's letter to Colossians, when he sends his greetings in chapter 4, he has a group that he addresses as the circumcision, meaning the Jewish people. But then when he addresses Luke, it's after, and he's lumped in with a bunch of Gentiles. And so they believe he was a Gentile upon that. We also learn in that same letter in Colossians 4, verse 14, that Luke was a physician, a doctor. We also know that he is the author of the book of Acts, and that he often accompanied Paul on his journeys, as we learn in 2 Timothy 4:11. But one of the more interesting things about Luke that I like is the meaning of his name. His name means light-giving, which is very fitting, for he would compile one of the most detailed accounts of Jesus' birth, not just his birth, his life in completion here on earth. And this is all done under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he would tell of that light being given, that was foretold in Isaiah. In Isaiah 9, when we read, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." So the first four verses of Luke's gospel lay the foundation. He gives the defense that it's reliable and true. And I'd like to read those first four verses. "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they believe them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Luke begins by explaining the compilation of accounts. It's many accounts gathered together, and they're being arranged, they're being ordered in a coherent, true narrative. a declaration of those things which were believed among witnesses. These witnesses were convicted, persuaded, convinced that although they saw amazing things, they were true and accurate. And when Luke says a declaration of those things, we may take that as being a little bit non-specific, but those things comes from the Greek word pragma, which is where we get the word pragmatic, meaning sensible or realistic. Luke was being, as a doctor, was presenting the gospel in a very sensible and straightforward manner. Luke continues by describing these accounts as being given to him by eyewitnesses who were also ministers of the word, meaning they were believers, and the truth of the Holy Spirit dwelt within them to give honest reporting. The word eyewitnesses in the Greek is the word autopsy, a detailed examination. Once again, Luke is applying his medical background to the language to authenticate, to show the truth of God's word. Similarly, Peter writes in 2 Peter 1, verse 16, "For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." When we read the account of Jesus' birth, we're not just reading fables or stories. This is the truth. This is a true account that were witnessed by eyewitnesses. Luke found it valid and good to write down his perfect understanding of all the events surrounding the life of Jesus, Son of the Most High. Luke's perfect understanding means it was exact, it was accurate, and he was diligent in it. We know that doctors can't afford to make mistakes. Often it is life and death, the situations that they are in. So true, God would not allow his gospel to be perverted, but that it would be presented true and pure, because it is a matter of life and death. These are eternal matters, the gospel that is speaking to. And so who is Luke addressing his gospel to? A man named Theophilus. Not much is known about this man either, other than that the book of Acts is also addressed to him, as it was penned by Luke. In fact, the book of Acts is a continuation from the gospel of Luke, by the fact that Luke addresses him as most excellent in verse 3. It's a distinction that he was of prominent rank, and that phrase, most excellent, is only used a few times in the New Testament. In Acts 23, verse 26, to address the governor Felix, and also in Acts 26, verse 25, to address the noble Festus. It seems to indicate that Theophilus was a Gentile Christian of prominent rank as a government official. And interestingly, once again, I like to look at what their meaning of their name is. Theophilus, well, we know Theo is God, and Philus or Filio is love. He was loved of God, or a friend of God. Luke concludes with his desire for Theophilus, and for all, I would say, to know with the certainty of those things he is instructing them in. Here, once again, Luke uses the phrase, those things, in verse 4. Only now it's not that same word that he used before, that pragma, but it's the Greek word logos, meaning the word of doctrine and teaching. Logos is used extensively throughout the New Testament, but most prominent maybe in our minds is John 1:1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That logos, the Word. "And the Word was made flesh," in verse 14, "and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God, through the inspiration, through his Holy Spirit, inspired these writers. He used a Gentile doctor to compile and write a true account addressed to another Gentile Christian who is of prominent status, to proclaim the good news of salvation. Jesus had come into the world. Luke proclaimed the birth, life, death, and resurrection of the promised Jewish Messiah for all to know, and it was for all in this world to understand. For he later would proclaim in Luke 2, verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel.